Speak to us afresh this morning. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to give us understanding and revelation about the tremendous grace that you've given to us and how to use that grace and put our faith in that grace. Lord, we want to be receivers of grace, Lord. We want to be receivers of your grace so that we can give out that power and that love to others. So we ask you to equip us this morning, Lord, in a new way, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like to turn your Bibles, I'm going to call this morning's brief talk. That means it won't be more than half an hour. I've entitled it, God Imparts Grace. God Imparts Grace. And we've been talking in recent weeks we've been talking about grace, the grace of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been talking about what grace really means. And we're just going to continue in the flow. But, you know, God wants to impart grace to you. In fact, every day that you get up out of your bed, God's wanting to impart more grace to you. Every day that goes by, God wants to impart a greater flow and a greater release of his grace in your life. And I've realized in these few weeks that God's been speaking to me about grace is that I don't know an awful lot about it. I've discovered that I understand some things about it, and I'm living in what I know, but I've realized that there's a whole realm out there that I have no idea about God's grace. And in Genesis, you don't have to turn there, but in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, it says that Noah found grace. That wasn't his aunt, by the way, Auntie Grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Amen.
Yes. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So right at the beginning of the Bible, we hear this tremendous word grace, and you've probably read it maybe a lot of times and not thought anything of it, but grace is one of the most important words that there is in the Bible.
Yeah.
Without grace, we cannot be saved.
Amen.
Without grace, we can't work miracles.
Amen.
Without grace, people can't be healed.
Amen.
Without God's grace, we can't be forgiven. Without God's grace, we can do nothing, absolutely nothing at all that's worth anything in terms of God's kingdom and eternity. So you see, God's grace is very, very important. And that's why it's important that we understand that God has given us grace and wants to give us more grace, and he wants to impart grace to you.
Amen.
And to us as a church. In Psalm 45 verse 2, don't have to turn there, but just you might like to make a note. It says that grace is poured upon your lips. It's a prophecy about Jesus, and it's saying here that Jesus had grace, the grace of God, the grace of the Holy Spirit was literally poured into his life, and he had grace on his lips. So that meant that the words that he spoke were words full of grace. They carried life. They carried the favour and the power of God. Isn't it incredible to think that you and I are carrying, because we've got Jesus living in us today, we're carrying the possibilities of and potential of releasing the incredible grace of God through what we say.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Or the opposite. We could do a lot of negative things. We could undo a lot of things by what we say. And I'm not going to talk much about that this morning, about words, but God wants us to actually have lots of words of grace on our lips. And Jesus, it says that grace was poured out upon his lips. He had an anointing so that the words that he spoke were measured words. They were careful words. Everything that he spoke with intent. And when he released those words, what came out of his mouth weren't just words or sounds, but was life.
Amen.
And the words that Jesus spoke were spirit and life. What about your words? What about my words? Because God has given us his spirit so that we can literally release words of life. And it could be said of you and it could be said of me that grace is poured upon my lips.
Amen.
In the workplace. With work colleagues. With people that you find really difficult to get on with.
Amen.
With your enemies. In your family, in our families, grace poured upon our lips, in our communities, with our neighbours. You know, you think of every situation that you find yourself where you can speak, and God's saying, I want my grace to be poured out upon you and upon your lips so that words that you speak carry my words of grace, because it's grace that does the work.
Amen.
So when we speak gracious words, like I spoke to my neighbour this morning, he told me about his long walk he had this morning to collect his Sunday paper. And as he's walking up his drive, so what I did, I spoke words of grace to him. Only just a couple of sentences, but just enough to think, thanks for that, Lord. We can build a little bit more on that.
Amen.
With some more words of grace next time.
Amen.
Words of grace. Grace is poured out upon our lips. In Psalm 84, verse 11, it says, "The Lord will give grace and glory." That's for you this morning. God wants to give you His grace, and He wants to give you His glory.
Thank you, Lord.
His presence. Yes. His Shekinah presence. And He wants to give you grace. The Lord will give grace and glory. Isn't that incredible?
Amen.
That He hasn't left us on our own to wait till we get to heaven to really experience Him, but He wants us to experiencing Him here and now. That's the whole point of the New Testament particularly, and the whole tenet of the Scriptures, is that God wants us to know Him now.
Amen.
He wants us to experience His kingdom here and now.
Amen.
He wants us to experience His grace so that it works here and now. It's no good having it when we get to heaven. We need to have it now, so it'll work now.
Amen.
To win others for Christ and to build one another up.
Amen.
The grace is given to us.
Amen.
And God gives to us. The Lord will give you grace, His grace, and His glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Are you receiving it?
Yes, Lord.
Come in. Are you receiving?
Yes,
because that's what God wants us to do. Tune into Him and receive His grace and His glory upon your life. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10 says that the spirit of grace and supplication was being poured out. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10. It says that the spirit of grace, God's spirit of grace and supplication was being poured out. And let's face it, this supplication is talking about prayer, strong prayer, that we can't pray effectively without grace. I don't know about you, but I regularly hit a brick wall. I have no idea how to pray for this particular matter. I've exhausted myself. I don't know quite what to do. In a situation that appears to be like a mountain, we need the grace of God. And so what I do, I ask the Holy Spirit, I don't know how to pray, but you do, and you're living in me, so help me to show me how to pray now. Pour out your grace upon me now, Lord. And as we ask for the grace and start receiving it, we'll begin to get into the flow, what we call flowing with the Holy Spirit. We'll begin to be able to know how to pray and what to pray. And God begins to release a flow of grace. Grace is like a river. If you think about a river carries things down it, doesn't it? And grace is the same way. The grace of Jesus Christ, the grace of the Holy Spirit is living in us. And when we tap into His grace, it's like a river inside of you that will carry things through. So when you're not sure how to pray and help asking God to make your prayers effective, that river that's in you will begin to flow up as you pray and thank God for the spirit of grace. The grace is like a river that will enable you to pray in the right way. And God will start releasing to you and to me revelation. He'll start giving scriptures and verses and pictures and things that we need so that we have faith in what we're praying about. Amen.
Amen.
So recently, I don't have to go into who, but we have someone connected with us in the church who's got an impossible situation and was speaking the wrong thing about us. So you've got to change what you say. You're going to short circuit what God wants to do. It's no good me praying for you and you're saying this, but God wants to do that. You've got to change what you think and then what you say if we're going to be in agreement in prayer. So I can't pray for you unless you change what you say.
Yes,
but as you change what you say and what you believe and what you think in your mind, then we can pray and God's will come.
Amen.
So he was facing a mountain and he had no idea what to do, but God did.
Amen.
And this is why it's good sometimes to get other people to pray with you. Maybe to encourage you, because you're without a way. But God will bring you into a place where you start having faith and really believe in the things that He wants to do.
Amen.
And the Lord will release grace into our prayer lives. Amen?
Amen?
That's what He wants to do. He wants to release a greater release of grace, so that grace is like a river that will carry you and enable you to pray according to His will.
Amen.
That's what the Lord wants to do. That's what grace is for. Grace is God's divine enabling and ability that He gives to us. And then Hebrews 10, verse 29 says that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of grace. So the Spirit of grace, the Holy Spirit, is a person.
Amen.
Isn't He?
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is a person, the person of God in the Spirit, and He's living in us, and He is the Spirit of grace. So grace isn't a thing, grace is a person. Grace is a person. Grace is Jesus Christ. Grace is the Holy Spirit. Grace is God the Father. Grace is a person and He's living in us today. And God is wanting us to have a greater understanding that grace, that that grace is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of grace living in you today.
Amen.
That means that you have a supply of God on the inside of you that can cater and cope with every situation.
Amen.
And let me just tell you a funny story. Up where June and Jeff used to live, when they used to live in Crawley Down, I was doing a job there one day in an airing cupboard. I was wiring a circuit through an airing cupboard because it was the quickest route through. And I had my head over the top of the cylinder in this cupboard, and my hammer dropped out of my hand and went through the pipes down underneath the floor. So here I am, I'm upside down, leaning over this cylinder, and I've got a decision to make. Do I let the hammer go? Because I've just bought this hammer. It's a brand new hammer. I lost the last one. I think it fell on a customer's head or something. I left it on the top of a door somewhere. Anyway, I lost the last one. And here I'm. I've got a new hammer. And I've just dropped the thing. And it's gone. And I can't reach it. What do I do? What would you do?
Ask the Lord for his help.
Ask the Lord for his help. Now, I didn't do that, actually, Alex. So that's smack wrist for me. I didn't ask the Lord for his help. So what I did was I thought, I know what. I'll reach. I'm blowed if I'm going to lose this hammer as well. I'm going to reach over the top of this cylinder, and if I stretch out really, really, really like this, I should be able to just about hoik it out. So here I go. So I slipped over the top of the cylinder. I'm halfway now the other side of the cylinder, upside down, going in between a configuration of very complicated central heating and hot water pipes.
Ouch.
And I'm suddenly realised that I'm stuck.
Oh, my.
I'm stuck. I'm not just a little stuck, I'm absolutely stuck. The customer's gone out. I'm on my own, I've got no mobile phone on me. I've got nothing on me, just a couple of screwdrivers. And the Lord, actually, upside down in an airing cupboard like this. Blood rushing to my head. Now I know, as an electrician, that you must never panic if you're in a situation, if you get lost under someone's floor, or you're upside down in the airing cupboard, or you're stuck between two live wires, you must never, ever panic. It's the worst thing you can do. So I decided I wouldn't panic, but I was starting to. And I started to think of some scriptures, very spiritual of me. And the only thing I could think of was help. That's about the best one I could find. In Psalms, it says, call unto the Lord when you need help. So I cried to the Lord, and I asked him for help, because I literally tried every way to push myself and yank myself and this, that, and the, I just couldn't get out. In fact, the more I tried to get myself out, the more stuck I was, upside down in this airing cupboard. Well, I didn't tie myself, but I was beginning to feel very full in my head. I mean, there's plenty of blood in there now. And I thought, there's only one thing I can do, and that's cry out to God. What a shame I didn't do that to start with.
Amen.
And so I said, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And as soon as I spoke the name Jesus, I came out. That's all I can say. I was definitely stuck. There's no way I could have got out without breaking the pipes, probably. But I said, in the name of Jesus. And when I said in the name of Jesus, I don't know whether the pipes moved. They must have done. But I literally just, I didn't even push. I just came back out again like that. The moment I spoke the name of Jesus, something gave. And it's just like the pipes must have moved. And I came out with my hammer. I got my hammer. I had in the name of Jesus. And out came... Out came the hammer. Now, the reason I tell that story to you is that that was grace.
Amen.
That was grace.
Amen.
And God's grace will work in silly situations like that and more serious situations. God's grace is available to us because we belong to him. And he's a God of all grace. Another one was, and I won't go into all the details of it now, but was when Claire and I, and we went as a family down to West Wittering. And if you've ever been, the tide goes right out, doesn't it? When it goes out, you can actually see people on the Isle of Wight. You can almost walk to the Isle of Wight. The tide goes right out. But the trouble was, Tim, that's my son and I, and he was only about 10, something like that. 9 or 10, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, I don't know what age it, but he was quite young. And he could only swim a couple of strokes, and that was it. He couldn't really swim. And the tide had started to come in, and when it comes in, it comes in fast. I mean, you can almost chase the thing as it comes in. And so we were with the river that comes out from, what's it, the River Arun, is it? Comes out into the sea. And usually, when the tide goes out, you can cross it. But the tide had turned, and now it was getting wider. And I thought, it was about the width from the back of the hall to about here. And I said to him, we can cross this. Look, it's only up to here. why don't we just cross over? I've got to go all the way down there and go all the way across there to get all the way back to there. And the people on the beach were like little pinheads, so it was a long way out. So we started to go across, but I found as we went across the water, it started getting deeper, but also it seemed to be getting wider as we went. And it was up to here.
Uh-oh.
And I hadn't even got halfway, and then it was up to here, and I realised I was stuck. And I tell you, you know, talk about scary, because I knew I could swim across, but I knew I couldn't swim across with him, with my son. And so I had a dilemma. And in this dilemma, which must have happened very, very quickly, now the water's up to here. And I'm kind of beginning to, you know, have to do a little bit of paddling and floating and hold him up as well. Now, I didn't panic, thank God. That was the grace of God. But what I did know is I knew I couldn't get out. In fact, everywhere I tried, it was getting deeper. It was everywhere, literally everywhere I walked, it was getting deeper. And in the end, because I was actually out of breath now, right, I said to Tim, I'm going to throw you off. Don't panic. Hold my arm.
Amen.
And so I threw him off because I needed to get some air. I took a big gasp of air and no water. And he was hanging on to my arm. And fortunately, he wasn't panicking. He's quite laid-back sort of a guy anyway. He was just hanging on to my arm. And I'm floating. And I'm beginning to think, what's going to happen? And what I did was, I did what I did before. I cried out to the Lord. And I literally, I didn't have time to say, Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I just said, Jesus! I shouted. I was desperate. And in a moment, it was like there were steps in the sand. That's the only way I can describe it. It was like there were steps in the sand. I literally kind of walked out. It was like there were steps in the sand. I was able to walk out of this water and went over the far side and got to shore. And by this time, I tell you, I was out. The water was well over my head by this time. So, what was that? Grace. Foolishness on my part, but grace on God's part.
Amen.
Now, the grace of God is sufficient for all of our needs, whatever those needs, foolish things that we sometimes do without thinking. But the grace of God is there for us.
Amen.
It was the grace of God that saved me when I had malaria and all that we went through that time. When I was dying, and I was dying, I knew I was dying, but the grace of God raised me back to health.
Amen.
The grace of God. When we call upon his name, that grace is there. And what I want to say this morning is that God wants to impart grace to us.
Amen.
He's given us grace, but he wants to impart grace so that whatever matters, whatever situation we find ourselves in, God's grace is sufficient for us. But not just for us, but for others too. Let's look at Luke chapter 2, verse 40. And it says there that God's grace, the grace of God, was upon Jesus. The grace of God was upon Jesus. The grace of God. And we need the grace of God, not just for those kind of situations we find ourselves in, but we need the grace of God to deal with our sinful habits, don't we?
Amen.
We need the grace of God to deal with the way that we think.
Amen.
We need the grace of God to deal with the way that we speak.
Amen.
We need the grace of God to deal with us. Full stop. I need the grace of God, don't you, every day?
Amen.
And that grace was upon Jesus. It says that the grace of God was upon him. And then come with me to John's Gospel chapter 1. John's Gospel chapter 1 verse 14. And it says here, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. This is John, the disciple John, talking about Jesus. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Full of, what does it say there?
Grace.
Full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received. And grace, what does it say there? Grace for grace. Does it say that in your Bible? Grace upon grace. This is verse 16. Of his fullness, John says, we have all received, and grace upon grace.
One blessing after another.
One blessing after another. That's a good one. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So with Moses, the book of in the Old Testament, Moses is there to tell us what God's standards are. Moses tells us in the book of what we call the books of the law, what God expects of us. The Old Testament and the New Testament tells us what God is like, and tells us what His standards are, His holy standards. That's what the law does, and that's the truth.
Amen.
But we can't live by God's standards. We can't fulfil what's written in this Bible without the grace. And the reason Jesus Christ came was to save us, to forgive us, to cleanse us, to wash us, enable us to repent of our sins and have faith in God, so that His grace would then work in us, so that we can fulfil everything written in this book, this inspired, what we call the Word of God, the written Word of God. God has given us His grace so that we can live it.
Amen.
We can actually live this out.
Amen.
The law was given by Moses. Moses told us this is God's holy standard, to show us that we can't do it.
Amen.
That's a bit rotten, wasn't it?
Mm.
Here's the standards and you can't do it. But in the New Testament, we understand why God did that. It was to show us our sinfulness, how sinful we are, and how much we need the Saviour, how much we need Jesus Christ and His Spirit living in us.
Amen.
But then when Jesus comes, He comes to give us His fullness. And another word for fullness to me is grace. His fullness is His grace. And that grace enables us to keep up with the standard.
Amen.
That grace enables us to actually to rule over sin.
Amen.
That grace enables us to be free.
Amen.
That grace enables us to deal with sinful habits.
Amen.
In thoughts and in words and in deeds. That grace is sufficient for us, is powerful enough to set us free, because this is the grace of Christ. It's His grace that is powerfully working in us.
Yes.
And when we start understanding that's the grace that's been given to all of us in this hall this morning, that's the grace that's living in you this morning if you believe and receive Jesus, and that grace will release the victory of Jesus in your life so that you can actually put all of what's written in here into practice.
Amen.
And no longer have to be condemned.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. You don't have to be condemned, because the grace of God will enable us to live in the truth. And Jesus was full of grace and truth, those two things. And He says, I want you to live full of My grace and truth. I want you to be full of My grace and truth.
Amen.
The law was given through Moses. But He says, of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. So God wants to not only shower you with a bit of grace, He wants to give you His grace and then put more grace on top of it. And then when He's done that, He wants to pour in more grace on the top of that. And then when He's done that, He wants to release more grace upon on the top of that.
Amen.
He wants to overflow us, and that will make us bigger people in God.
Amen.
It means that the grace of God is going to be literally expanded in our lives, and we're going to be a people of grace. This is why in the New Testament we read that the early church actually had great grace upon it. Not because they deserved it. They were walking in something that God had given to them.
Amen.
And God is wanting to impart to you and to us as a church, He wants to impart His grace.
Amen.
I'm going to read to you, if I may, Romans chapter 1 and verse 7, out of the truth. This is Pastor Collins' version of the New Testament, and very good too. It's very anointed, and it's very helpful, it's very readable. And he expands some of those words and meanings just to make sure. The reason he wrote it was so that when we read the New Testament, we have a grasp, an understanding of what he's actually saying. And a little bit like the Amplified Bible, you know, there's explanation there. But in Romans chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, Paul says, I'm writing this to all of you in Rome and to all who are loved by God and are called to be saints, those whom He has set apart for Himself and His purposes. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ impart grace and peace to you.
Amen.
It's saying here, may God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ impart grace and peace to you. So every day God is wanting to impart grace, His grace and His peace into you. So you have it as a real experience. So you have it as a reality in your life.
Amen.
He wants to impart grace and peace to you. Everything you could ever need to be at one with Him and to serve Him faithfully. So this grace and this peace is given to you so that you can know Him.
Amen.
Number one, so that you can know Him. And number two, it's so that you can serve Him faithfully. So two things. The grace of God is given to us. Number one, so that we can really get to know Him and who He is.
Amen.
And number two, so that we can serve Him. Out of that grace, we can serve Him faithfully. And I know, because I've been a Christian long enough to know now, that Without grace, nothing's happening.
Exactly.
Without God's grace, it ain't happening.
Amen.
We can't do this. We can't live the Christian life without the grace of God. This is why grace is so important. Because what we'll do is we'll end up trying to be a good Christian. We'll end up trying to deal with that sinful habit. We'll end up trying to win the loss. We'll end up trying to do this and trying to do that. And perhaps try very, very hard, but wear ourselves out and become weary. But the grace of God works in a different way. The grace of God comes not by our works. The grace is imparted to us.
Amen.
And when you understand what that grace is inside of you, the grace of Christ, what it's been given to you so you come to know Him. And as you get to know Him, that grace enables you then to serve Him.
Amen.
In those specific areas that He's called you to serve Him in, through His grace. Is this
Amen.
Making sense?
Amen.
Unmerited favour.
It is unmerited favour. It really is. It's outpoured favour and love that we don't deserve. And it's given to us, and it's like that river, and it carries power with it to enable us to live the Christian life, live the Christ life. Come with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm going to finish on this one. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. And I trust this is going to really encourage you. Just thinking about what we've been talking about this morning. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. Ephesians 2 and verse 4. It says here that, but God, who is rich, what does it say there?
Mercy.
He's rich in mercy. Because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, He made us alive together with Christ, for by grace, there it is, you have been saved.
Amen.
So before you became a Christian, when you were living in your sin, before you knew anything about knowing Jesus, He'd already chosen you by His grace. By His mercy, He'd already called you and chosen you, and He saw you, saved by the sacrifice of Jesus, reigning with Jesus in the heavenly places in heaven, and fulfilling His will for Him on the earth. God already saw that. That's how full He is of grace. And it says that we've been... by grace you have been saved, verse 5. And verse 6, and He has raised us up together by His grace and made us sit together in the heavenly places by His grace in Christ Jesus. So this morning, here you are, you're sitting on your blue seat in Oriel High School on a chair, right? But God sees you seated with Him this morning in the heavenly places.
Amen. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Not on a blue chair, but on a throne.
Hallelujah.
Reigning with Jesus. That's how He sees you.
Hallelujah.
That's how He sees the church.
Thank you.
He already sees us reigning with Him this morning. That's our position in Christ Jesus. He sees us reigning with Him.
Thank you, Lord.
So in one sense, we're not on the earth at all. We're in heaven.
Amen.
Spiritually speaking, our position is in heaven. We're seated with Christ right now in the heavenly places. And Christ is reigning from that position. And He sees over everything. And He sees what He's going to do. And He sees that His victory is done. Nothing to add to what He's done. And He says, come up here where I am and reign with me. In your life here on earth. Let my reign that I've got now, through the cross, through the resurrection, through being in heaven, let that reign come into your life here and now, because you're seated with me in the heavenly places.
Amen.
And it says that in verse 7, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. What's this telling me? This is telling me I know nothing, or I know very little about grace. Because it says that in the ages to come, that means when we're done on earth, when we've finished our course for God on earth here, and we go to be with Him, it says here that in the ages to come, He's going to show us the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. In other words, we're only going to find out a little bit about it while we're here.
Amen.
That's how big, that's how wide, that's how incredible the grace of God is towards us. It's going to take all of eternity for God to show us more and more of His grace and His love to us. For by grace, this grace, you have been saved.
Amen.
Through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God.
Amen.
So that means everyone in this room this morning has received the gift of God's salvation. The gift of faith and the gift of His grace has been given to us.
Thank you, Lord.
And through this grace... and putting our faith in His grace, we have been saved. We are saved today.
Amen.
Not of works, lest anyone should boast. So God's not interested in my works. And he's not interested in your works. He's interested in the grace of God working in us. And then working with that grace, putting our faith in his grace, whatever it is that we're doing, whether it's witnessing, telling others about Jesus, whether it's praying, whether it's helping someone in the church, whether it's helping someone outside of the church, what a particular ministry God's given us to do, whatever it is, God says, don't do it by your own effort. Don't do it by your own strength, but do it by the grace that I give to you.
Amen.
Because that's where the supernatural power and love of God flows through us.
Amen.
This makes sense.
Amen.
And then verse 10 says, we are his workmanship.
Amen.
Just say, I am his workmanship.
I am his workmanship.
Say, I am his special work of art. Because that's what, in the Greek, that's what it means. It means that you are a special work of God's art. Like God was an artist and created something beautiful, that's what this word workmanship means. It literally means that. It means to make. It means to make. And God is the creator. He's made you. He's recreated you. When you got born again, you were made a new creation, weren't you?
Amen.
You're made a child of God.
Yes.
And he says, you are my special work of art, my workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
And the whole point of this morning, is God wants to impart grace to us so that we understand that we're his special work of art. God has created us and made us for himself.
Amen.
But he's also made us for good works.
Yes, Lord.
And those good works are the things that we do. They're the things that we do to serve him. They're the things that we do every day of our lives.
Amen.
Those works are to be good works, and we can only do them by the grace of God.
Amen.
That's the whole point. God's grace has been given to do these good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
Amen.
So God has prepared your path before you. And what I've noticed is when you're going along your path, let's say this is the path here. When I'm going along the path, I've noticed that Satan tries to knock me off course. So I'm going on the course is from here to heaven. And during my life, there's steps I need to take. But I've noticed every now and again, there's a resistance that tries to take me off at a tangent.
Yeah.
Don't go another way. Perhaps I try and do something in my own effort and strength. It's like going off at a tangent and going away from the purpose that God's called me to. And the only way to get there is to depend every day on the grace of God.
Amen. Yep.
I can't, Lord, but you can.
Amen.
I can do nothing without you. I think that's a great confession to make. Perhaps we ought to make it a lot more than we do. If you don't do it every day, it's a good confession to make. I can do nothing without you, Lord.
Amen.
But with you, I can do all things.
Absolutely, yes.
God has called us to understand that the grace is there so that we do his work in his way.
Yes.
And those good works that he's prepared before and for us to walk in, understand that there's an enemy there that will try and stop you, get you off course, try and buffet you and stop you from reaching a goal. And the key is to totally depend upon his grace.
Amen. Yes.
Every time, depend upon his grace and he will see you through every step of the way.
Yes.
I made a note here, it came out of my Bible, so I'm just being honest with you, I didn't make this up. But it says in one of the notes in my Bible, it says, grace describes God's undeserved kindness by which salvation is given. But it is also a power word describing the Holy Spirit's operation. Grace is a force as well as a favour. It's a verb. You know what a verb is, don't you? Didn't they teach you that in English at school? A verb is a doing word. And a noun is a... Oh, it's a name, okay. I was never very good at English, but I remember one thing I do remember, the verb is a doing word. So grace is, when it's in the New Testament, in the Bible, it comes up two ways. Sometimes it's a noun and other times it's a verb. And it's talking about God's grace is a force, it's a power word.
Amen.
As well as a favour word. So it's force and favour. God has given you his force, his power and his favour to live by. So that you can do his will. God wants to impart grace to you today.
Thank you, Lord.
His grace.
Thank you.
He wants you to have a great, and me, he wants us to have a greater revelation of what that grace is.
Amen.
So that we can know him better.
Amen.
And we can fulfill his will. We are his workmanship. We are his special work of art.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
It comes from the Greek word poema, I think it is, which means poem. It's where we get the word poetry and poem from. Something that God has written, something special, a work of art, whether it's something written or something created. We are his workmanship, his poema.
Yeah.
And we're created in Christ for good works.
Amen.
And we need to seek after God to say, Lord, please teach me how to walk in your ways.
Yeah.
Help me to understand the specific things that you've called me to do in your name. Because I don't want to miss anything.
Amen.
And you don't either. No. You want to find what God's purpose and his plan and his will is and start walking it, don't you? And God will fulfill and he'll give you all the details that you need by his grace. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand for us to walk in.
Amen.
Let's all stand. Let's stand before him this morning.
Praise you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Play that song, Alpha and Omega.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's just begin to, let's lift our hands to the Lord and just begin to thank him for his presence.
Thank you, Lord.
Just thank him this morning for his glory.
Thank you.
And his grace. Just stretch, if you're getting a bit tired this morning, just stretch out to God, stretch your arms up and just, Lord, thank you for your grace.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for your grace, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for your grace, Lord. Thank you for impartation of grace, Lord. And peace, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we are your workmanship, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We are special work, Lord, that you've created, Lord. That you prepared, Lord, things for us to do. Even before you created the world, you knew all about us in this room this morning, Lord. Thank you. It's all by your grace, Lord. You could have just screwed the whole thing up and thrown it in the bin and said, I'm fed up with this sinful world. But you didn't, Lord. You stayed the course and you sent your son to die for us. And rose again from the dead. You dealt with our sinful past, Lord. You broke the power of sin and death by your grace, Lord, and kindness. And you've rescued us, Lord, and you've given us a future and a hope, Lord, because of your grace. And Lord, as we lift our hands to you, we pray this morning, Lord, impart, Lord, to me and to us as your people, Lord, great grace, Lord. Impart your grace, Lord. You are the Spirit of grace, Lord, and teach us how to walk in that grace, Lord, and how to do good works, Lord, that you prepared beforehand for us to walk in, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. As we sing this worship song, just receive his grace. God is pouring out grace. He's imparting grace to you as we sing this worship song.